The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. It's kind of interesting that in the hymn we just sang, and in the introit, in the gradual, in the Old Testament reading for today, we heard so much about rejoicing, about joy. After all, this is Gaudete Sunday. It takes its name from the word rejoice that we have in the introit and in the gradual. Advent is a minor penitential season represented by the blue candles. But here, with the pink candle on this third Sunday in Advent, we take some time off to reflect upon the joy of the fact that our Lord has come in the flesh as our Savior, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, having been conceived by the Holy Spirit, that He is coming again at the end of the age to make all things new, and that again, we get to celebrate this in just 10 days, the birth of our Savior, God coming into the world as one of us. But not a God who would remain aloof from human suffering, not a God who would withdraw from sinners and say, "Keep your distance, I'm too holy for you," not a God who was indifferent or impatient toward people who cried out in pain and agony. No, we're talking about a God who came to comfort, a God who came to restore a fallen creation and make all things new. And on this third Sunday in Advent, we see the first glimmer of light of that new, final, restored creation. We see it in Isaiah's description of the weak hands that are strengthened, the feeble knees that are made firm, the anxious hearts being told, "Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come. He will come to save you." And then we see that new creation in the eyes of the blind, that shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame man leaping like a deer, and the tongue of the mute singing for joy. Joy. This is the Sunday of joy in the Advent season. It was a joy to witness the baptism of Ava Lotus Copeland this morning. It was a joy to her parents to know that she has been washed in water with the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit working through this means of grace has created faith in her, even though she cannot articulate that faith. It is nonetheless present. Think about you who believe in Christ. Maybe one day you shall be plunged into the depths of dementia. Maybe you won't be able to speak or interact with anyone. Maybe you will be curled up into a fetal position. And as far as anyone can tell, you are dead to the world. Does your faith depart if you are in that condition? Are you no longer a believer in Jesus Christ just because your mental faculties don't work as they once did? Well, thanks be to God, and this is something to rejoice in. Faith is not a matter of the intellect. Faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. We cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Catechism says, but the Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel, enlightens us with His gifts, sanctifies us, and keeps us in the true faith. And that has happened for Ava this day. The Sunday of joy. But isn't it interesting how the gospel reading for this day starts out? John is in prison. This is the John we heard about in the gospel reading for last Sunday, how he came preaching in the wilderness, how he proclaimed, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," how he rebuked the Pharisees and Sadducees, those in power, calling them a brood of vipers, telling them to bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and how he proclaimed the one who was coming after himself, the one who is mightier than John, the one whose sandals John was not worthy to carry. And John says of this coming mightier one, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." And then immediately after that text, Jesus comes for baptism. John doesn't want to do it. "I should be baptized by you," John protests. But Jesus says, "Let it be so now, for in this way, by this means, we shall fulfill all righteousness." So John agrees, and the heavens open, and the Spirit descends upon Jesus there in the water in the form of a dove, like the Spirit brooding over the waters of the original creation in Genesis chapter 1. And a voice from heaven declares, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And John heard the voice, and John knew that his work had been done. And yet a short time later, John, the man of God, the one who was the forerunner of Christ, was arrested because he had rebuked Herod for taking his brother Philip's wife, and he had been thrown into the prison. Conditions weren't pleasant for John, and there in the darkness, there in the dank, there in the stench, he apparently doubted. He was suffering. Had it all been in vain? Was he mistaken in pointing Jesus out and declaring, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world"? Maybe John was an hysteric. Maybe he had hallucinated the whole thing. Maybe he had just imagined he had heard that voice saying, "Behold, this is my beloved Son." After all, Jesus was not doing the works that John had said he was going to do. Jesus didn't have a winnowing fork in his hand. He was not clearing the threshing floor and gathering the wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Instead, John was hearing of works of healing, of great crowds coming to Jesus and hearing him teach. And Jesus taught and preached of a God of love and a God of mercy. Jesus said the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven was present right there in his own flesh as he was speaking and teaching and healing and working miracles. So John was puzzled, and he was anxious in his doubts. He needed to be strengthened, so look what he did. He sent to Jesus. He couldn't go himself, but he wanted to hear Jesus' word, what Jesus would say to him, which would comfort him. "So, are you the one who is to come?" John asked, "or shall we look for another? Are you really the Messiah, the promised one of God? Or has it all been a mistake and there's someone coming after you?" Well, here's the deal. there is no other. It is Christ alone. He is the one who fulfills the Old Testament prophecies. He is the one who tells John what he said, go and tell John what you, his two disciples, hear and see. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Creation is being restored as Jesus is present in this world. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. Cleansed from that which kept them out of the temple, kept them from fellowship with the people of God because they were unclean. And do you know what the deaf heard? They heard Jesus. They heard his voice. They heard his message of compassion and mercy and freedom from sin in him. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. The dead are raised up. This happened literally in three cases in the gospel. And it happened for a big time in the resurrection of our Lord. But also the spiritually dead are raised up. And the spiritually poor in spirit, whom the kingdom of God belongs to, they have good news. They have the gospel preached to them. And then Jesus says, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. People are offended by Jesus today. A lot of the television evangelists think that preach and teach that Jesus came to give us wealth, that he came to give us luxurious lives, that he came to teach principles that would lead us to success in this world. Others preach that a Christian, if he or she has enough faith, will not ever get sick. They're offended by Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus who is lowly and meek, the Jesus who, though he is God in human flesh, does not make full use of his divine powers because he does not turn the stones into bread in the wilderness, because when he has been arrested and tried, he does not call a legion of angels to come rescue him. The Jesus who is so weak and so lowly, he submits to death on a cross for the sins of the world, for your sins, for your forgiveness, for your salvation. That is the Jesus we proclaim, a God in the flesh who suffers on behalf of his people, a God in the flesh who carries his people's sins away. A God in the flesh who understands what it's like when you're anxious, when you're troubled, when you're in pain, when you're afraid. A God in the flesh who knows what it's like to be human because he is fully human. Although, of course, without sin. We can only assume that John was strengthened by this message that Jesus sent to him, because the gospel readings that describe his execution indicate that he died content, that he had completed his work, and that's why Jesus praises him later on in today's gospel reading, and that when John died, he was received into the presence of the Lord, along with all those who awaited the coming of the Messiah, and all those who, since Jesus came in the flesh, suffered, died, and raised again, have died in Christ. That's where it hits home for Ava. We don't know what lies ahead for Ava. We don't know what lies ahead for us. We can guess, we can hope, but we cannot know. But this we can know, that Christ has come in the flesh, and he has redeemed us from all sin, from all suffering, from all sorrows, from all death, from all condemnation. Christ has made peace with us, for us, with God. And in him we have the peace that passes all human understanding. And that is cause for joy. That is cause for strength in our faintness. That is cause for patience. When we wait and wait and wait upon the Lord and he doesn't seem to act, that is cause not to fear death, but to know that death is the gateway that leads us into the presence of the triune God. And though our bodies die, they shall be raised again, made whole and new and entire. Again, we see promises of this in the lessons for this Gaudete Sunday, and we saw it happen for Ava this morning. Behold, all who are in Christ are a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. The new has come for Ava. The new has come for you who are likewise baptized into Christ and live by faith in his word and his work for you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of the Lord, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.